Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for coming back in. We're on the second half hour of the first hour of the Matt Pro Show here on 790 KFYO. And it's a great experience to meet people like Eddie McBride, and I really appreciate his coming down to the studio and being part of the show. As I said earlier, the premise of the show is to drill down on some news stories that we don't get a chance to go down into during the week and afford you guys, the listeners, a little bit of an opportunity to get to know some of the newsmakers. I've got in the studio this afternoon Councilman Victor Hernandez, who is the District 1 City Councilman here for the city. And I think, in my personal opinion, one of the more fascinating people that I've met while I've been here in Lubbock full time. And I've only lived here a year, and it's been quite a year. I have to say, there's been a lot of interesting things going on in the city. And I think one of the advantages of being new into town is seeing things with fresh eyes, and you know, not being from Texas, being from California by way of Virginia, gives me an opportunity to kind of reflect on things and look at things a little more differently. But you know, I think one of the things people don't realize about you is you are you're a native Texan. You grew up in El Paso. You served time in the Army. You were in Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, which I found interesting. You were you in the JAG Corps as a lawyer?
Actually, I was in the Adjutant General Corps.
Mm-hmm. And you were captain. You made captain.
I made captain. And
we
just
had a lieutenant colonel in here from the Air Force, so we had a captain out in the Army.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad he didn't give me an order of some type.
Just to tell people a little bit more about you, though. You have several children, and we were just talking about that before we came on the air. All of them, great kids. You're very proud of them, as I'm proud of my kids. And I think that speaks to you and your wife, of course, and the way you raise the kids. And you're at St. Joseph's. We're talking in the break. I'm at Christ the King. So we have that kind of thread in common. You know, I was talking to you earlier, though, when you got to the studio. Saw a great movie last night. About Cesar Chavez, and Chavez was a big part of California when I was growing up, a huge part of California, with the migrant farm workers in the Central Valley. And, you know, obviously, I think you said you saw the movie. Chavez was a community organizer, very interesting. And I think people who aren't aware of what it was like in California with the migrant farm workers should see the movie. It's not the sexiest of subjects. Community organizing is not the sexiest of subjects. Of course, being a city councilman is not the sexiest of jobs either, probably sometimes. But you strike me as a little bit like Chavez in the respect that you're a nuts and bolts guy. When I go to city council meetings, I hear you talk about things like median strips and streets and infrastructure. I mean, that's hardly the stuff that you must wake up in the morning and think, ah, today I'll get the curbs improved, you know, on this street. But, I mean, that does speak, though, to the way you look at your job. Right. And what I find interesting is while you do that, while you are a nuts and bolts type of councilman, you also find your way into other issues sometimes. But that's part of being a politician. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you got into politics, what was your estimation of what you were going to do and what you were going to accomplish? And did you have a role model in politics that you thought, you know, if I could be like him or I could kind of espouse what he, you know, does in politics, I think I'll be a better leader or better community leader?
Well, and first of all, let me tell you, I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. And I also wanted to congratulate you.
Thank you.
On your show. Today's the first show, and thank you for inviting me to be part of your first show. In fact, I put on Facebook, I'm taking part of in his maiden voyage.
Yeah, so you're the one of the first passengers.
I was looking for the bottle of champagne.
Hopefully not
to break
the last.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
I've been involved for on and off, either as an elected official or behind the scenes for a good 25 years. And, of course, we've lived in Lubbock 30 years. What brought me to Lubbock was the Texas Tech School of Law.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a side note, you mentioned my wife. Mm-hmm. We've been married 30 years. She's an elected official as well.
Right.
She's been a judge for 20. Combined, my wife and I have 5 college degrees. Now, I have to give her kudos because she has three and I only have two.
Well, there's still time.
And all three of hers are from Texas Tech University. But what got us both involved in politics is just the fact that we believe in giving back to the community. And in terms of you know, who we've had serve as our mentors, they've been local folks.
Have they?
Way back when, you know, 25 years ago, there was a local attorney by the name of Maria Luisa Mercado. And she moved on to Corpus some years ago, but she was a great role model and a mentor to us. Also locally was folks like Eliseo Solis, Paulina Jacobo, who's with the U.S. Attorney General's office even today. Eliseo, of course, has already passed on. There were a number of folks, including Linda De Leon, Maggie Trejo, you know, folks who had been in the trenches way before we had.
Right.
And
When you were a little boy growing up, who did you pay attention to politics?
No. You know, we were like any other kids. Folks we looked up to were our parents.
Right, right.
And they were hardworking individuals. I mean, both my mom and dad, if you added their education together, they wouldn't add up to a 12th grade education.
What'd your dad do?
He was a crane operator with Phelps Dodge Copper Refinery.
Oh, right down there, that big tower as you drove in. They knocked those down now. They're not there anymore, I guess.
Actually, that wasn't Phelps Dodge. That was Smelter. But Phelps Dodge was just a little further down the road. But he worked there about 33 years and finally retired. My mom, for the most part, was a homemaker. I come from a family of eight, just like my wife.
Yeah. Now, you've been here for 30 years. In those 30 years, let's talk about the Hispanic community in this town.
Sure.
Have things gotten better for the Hispanic community in this town?
That'll continue to occur and has occurred. And I'd like to believe that has also happened with regards to the African-American community and the Anglo community as well.
There seems to be a lot of tension. Not a lot of tension, but some tension. And I don't want to make something out of nothing. But being in town a year, it seems as though we've got a kind of a balkanization going on, maybe. And maybe that's too strong a word for it. But you've got Southwest and South Lubbock. And you've got North Lubbock and Northeast Lubbock. And it seems to me, just by, you know, kind of being an honest observer, that there are tensions there. Do you see that as well?
Well, but I would label it differently. I think you can say that there are definite distinctions between different parts of town based on socioeconomic factors, based on the age of the city in those areas, in the infrastructure and the housing. You know, there's some folks who would like to say it only has to do with race or ethnicity, but it goes further and deeper than that.
Into what exactly?
Well, for example, the housing stock. My district in the downtown area, you were talking about North Overton and the impact that particular redevelopment has had downtown. That is the original town of Lubbock. And you know, when you take a look at land uses and their life cycles, pretty much that particular section of town had gone full cycle. And so, you know, Delbert took advantage of the fact that property values were low. It was ready, ripe for redevelopment. And so he ran with the ball. But there are many parts of town like that. What differentiated North Overton from a lot of other areas in my district is its close proximity to downtown and Texas Tech University. So it provided an opportunity that these other neighborhoods won't.
This tension came up a little bit, or the dichotomy came up a few weeks ago when we were talking about the outer loop. Because now I'm kind of falling back on my Washington experience.
Right.
There's kind of the existing, well, I'm going to call it the inner loop, okay, folks? And then we're talking about this outer loop. So basically in the next 20 years, there's talk about putting in another loop around the city, which probably is a good idea. You were a little anxious, though, about where that was going to go and if that was going to go all the way up north and northeast of town, right?
Well, what's being proposed right now is an outer route, which basically just covers the western half of of the county.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a complete circle, and so we're taking the position that it should be an outer loop, a complete circle, if you will, encompassing the entire county.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, in fact, a secondary loop, pretty much like San Antonio has. And the reason for that's real simple.
Yep.
Transportation projects, it's been proven over and over again, drive development.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see that even along Marshall Sharp Freeway.
Right.
Now, you know, TxDOT and some of the folks over there who we get along with very well
mm-hmm.
will argue that the traffic counts aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in reality, when they planned Marshall Sharp Freeway, the traffic counts weren't there either.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it seemed a little disingenuous to us to argue that point when with other projects they've been able to plan them and fund them and complete them.
You spent a lot of time in state. You don't spend a lot of time, but you're a member of some state and national organizations, some Hispanic, you know, community leadership organization, national Hispanic leadership organizations. How does Lubbock compare with other cities in Texas of like size when it comes to economic development, economic opportunities for the Hispanics?
Well, I mean, in terms of economic opportunities, development opportunities as a whole, because when you're looking at economic development and opportunities, it's not necessarily just with regards to the Hispanic community or the Black community mm-hmm. or the Anglo mm-hmm. community.
Mm-hmm.
It's we're part of a much bigger community, and that's the Lubbock community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Lubbock has been doing a fairly good job in attracting new economic development mm-hmm. ventures here in this town. Mm-hmm. Of course, we as a city pump a lot of money into that
right.
Proposition. I think it's a little over $8 million a year that we funnel on over to LEDA. And there's a lot of good folks over at LEDA, and they, mm-hmm. they do attract a lot of new businesses.
When I come back, I want to get a little bit more into economic development,
sure.
and I want you to think about you know what your vision is for the city.
Sure.
Next couple of years. You're listening to the inaugural show of the Matt Crow Show on KFYO. We'll be back in just a few minutes. All right, we're back on the Matt Crow Show, Lubbock's only news magazine show. And this, of course, is our inaugural show, one full hour of news. And we're going to drill down into stories we don't normally get enough time to drill down into during the week. And one of those stories that crossed my desk as I was reporting on Victor was this $275,000 that Lubbock Power and Light paid to this Ashcroft law firm to study the allegations of bid rigging and shenanigans with the power generation contract. You know, I've got to tell you again, only being here a year, and it's been quite a year, LP&L can't seem to do anything right. I mean, that's a tough place to work. I'm glad I'm not their public affairs guy. I mean, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably jump out the window or something.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting. I mean, the reality is we're a large organization, the city of Lubbock as a whole, and LP&L is a large operation as well. And I could really make the city of Lubbock organization look very, very bad if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for example, if something comes up that we're dealing with in executive session and it's something that is a routine manner should be dealt with in executive session, but I feel the need to go ahead and exploit
right.
it for mm-hmm. other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Truth of the matter is, as any big, large organization, not everything's going to run as smoothly as you'd like 100% of the time.
Right.
And so if you've got someone who's going to nitpick
mm-hmm.
over and over and over again over anything and everything in order to achieve a certain goal,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then it really begs the question of whether or not he is doing a service or a disservice to this community.
It's an interesting question. I mean, it just seems to me that LP&L and the city council have got some real challenges, and unfortunately, it's a critical issue to the city. I mean, power is right up there with water. I mean, how the city addresses both those issues are going to be huge.
There's a lot of issues that the city deals with on a day-to-day basis, and granted, there are some that are extremely are a lot larger than others. For example, a new police headquarters, talking about refurbishing an old facility versus building a new, huge differences in prices. But again, if I wanted to, I could get on my stump and just make so much hay out of it to where it would you're basically attacking the credibility of individuals, attacking the credibility of the organization. Then it makes I know it's made a few of our of the elected officials wonder what is going on. Why are folks doing this? I mean, I'd like to be pragmatic in my approach. I believe that most city councilmen that I've served with, most mayors that I've served with, have been pragmatists in the sense of trying to solve problems.
Most mayors?
And so it becomes one of those issues where you know, we really need to stay focused on our mission. Our mission is to have a growing, thriving city that's successful. That doesn't mean everything's going to run 100% every single time, but does it really mean that you tear somebody apart or tear something apart just for the sake of doing that? And again, you know, where's the balance between having complete transparency and just taking care of business?
Was that a distraction to you over that whole episode with the Attorney General coming to town? Was that a distraction that you know, kind of took away from what you really wanted to do that week, or was that something that you didn't think made that big of a difference?
I was concerned, and it's really kind of interesting because apparently that concern was widespread, not just here in Lubbock, but statewide, that the message being presented was not just negative, but and not just hurtful, but destructive. And I will tell you that sometimes you just have to say, wait a minute, enough's enough. You do what you want, but let me tell you what I'm thinking. Let me tell you what I'm feeling. And if that has any impact, then that has impact. If it doesn't, then at least I've let you know.
Have you talked to the AG since that issue came about when he was here?
No. You know, I didn't talk to the AG even before. I mean, and it's you know, as the state's attorney general, I do a lot of business with their office simply because I'm a family law attorney.
Right.
So I handle a lot of those type cases. In fact, just last week I was in court again representing a client on a matter, and the state attorney general's folks were there. I mean, nobody mentioned it.
Yeah.
You know, we're all professionals, and we deal with our cases in that manner and move on.
You're campaigning for re-election. What do you do when you campaign? What do you like to do when you campaign?
You know, I really like to meet people and talk to people and go to community events. Just this morning, I went to a community event over at May Simmons Park. I had two meetings with supporters. It's, you know, it's, to me, it's personal. I like block walking. We've been block walking for the last four weekends. It's, to me, it's not just, in fact, I'll let you be the first to know I'm going to be having a press conference probably Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, to announce that I will be returning, campaign contributions totaling $2,500.
And why is that?
And that's what I'm going to disclose on Tuesday.
Okay, fair enough. Well, in politics is a complicated situation, and when money's involved, it gets even more complicated. What do you hear from people that you talk to when you walk the street, walk the curbs, walk the blocks, and any concurrent issues that come up from time to time?
You know, people, and doesn't really matter. I have such a diverse district. I've got two country club areas.
You sure do.
And then I've got some of the poorest neighborhoods.
I'd argue it's the most diverse district in the city.
I think so. I've got the downtown area. I've got the airport. I've got the centers of government. So, but what folks are wanting is better life.
What time's your news conference on Tuesday? Have you set a time yet? Well, when you do, let me know.
I will.
And I'll come over. Victor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. This is Matt Crow on KFYO, and I really appreciate both Eddie and Victor Hernandez coming on the show today. We'll be back next Saturday, and then you can, of course, listen to the news all week on Lubbock's First News,